Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Sariah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It is now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Nahara, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. I would like to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh, you can be seated. The house of Yahweh welcomes you back to another appointment with your Creator and Heavenly Father Yahweh. This is a place Yahweh chose to establish His name. His established house is established people. Established means a point to build, call a name, bring, and commit. Remember to have your pens and paper ready because Yahweh has establishing His only women of nature bring to you a great learning experience. Please stand and welcome and stand for the first speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great house of Yahweh. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. My title today is, For Peace, It's All About Family. To have peace on earth with no war, it starts with family. Since the beginning, Yahweh's plan for mankind is to bring forth a family in His likeness and image. A righteous family to teach life. Righteousness is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. But mankind has chosen the way of Satan. You see, Satan is a wife of Yahweh, his helpmate to teach her children Yahweh's laws. But she turned against Yahweh and His guidance, leading one-third of the heavenly beings with her. They are known as the gods. Genesis 3:5, evil as the gods. See, teachers, you don't have to keep Yahweh's laws to live, but that's a big, fat lie. Take a look around. The world has no peace, but war all over that brings death. This is an example to all creation, the importance and influence a mother has on her children. Holy women of old, like Hannah, were guided by their husbands, had a deep, earnest desire to see Yahweh's plan of life be fulfilled. With her fervent zeal for the plan of Yahweh, she raised a son named Samuel, who Yahweh used in a great work during his days. Because of many other women of old who diligently taught righteousness to their children, we have the writings of the prophets and apostles. We know the way to peace and eternal life, and it's the keeping of Yahweh's 613 laws. The holy woman of new is showing all heaven and earth the holy woman of new is showing all heaven and earth that true peace starts with the family. And here's our family. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is Yahweh's House, Yahweh's Work. For my first scripture, let's turn to Micaiah 4, verse 1 through 3, which says, But in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain promotion of the House of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregation, and all nations will eventually flow to it. And many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain uplifting of Yahweh and to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Because the law will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift a sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Yahweh has established his house in these last days because he has a job for us to perform. In promoting the house of Yahweh, Yahweh calls those whom he wills so they can do his work. Yahweh calls out whom he wills by opening their minds to his truth. The house of Yahweh in these last days is to reveal the deception of Satan and to also warn all nations of the destruction. Yahweh has established his house for us for a great work. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Let the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us here today, and all those who are joining us over all forms of media, and all those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Great saints, I brought the words to the lamplight song. I told the directors, give me 1 minute to talk about the lamplight song. And I brought my lamp and the words of the lamplight song. Do you think I'm going to sing it? So here's what. Did you hear the song and how it was sang by the choir of New for the great Feast of Pentecost? Did you hear the song? Well, what occurred, I did not see it coming. When the song began. And then, as the song went through, I said, you know what? I have decided to join the choir. So, I'm getting ready. And let me tell you what, I have been auditioning for the choir, and they always say to me, not at this time. Field. So I said, not this time. What I'm going to do, I'm going to show the whole house of Yahweh I'm practicing my words, and I have my lamplight already. So they won't tell me not this time. And I've begun memorizing the words of the song. The days are long on a farm in Oklahoma. Is that true? Always working hard to make ends meet. True? Very nice. So you think I'll be ready by then? Very nice. So, for our introduction this morning, now, I asked all our speakers, can we get one word of this, based on their speech? One word. So, today, since we are focused on lamplighting, the words are not in any order. So, I'm going to say the word, and I want you to say lamplight after every word. So you are helping us create the theme. Is that fair? All the work can't always be on us. You have to help with the work. So let's go. My first word is planted. Planted lamplight. See? Mm-hmm. My next word is ripple. Ripple lamplight. Come out. Come out lamplight. Position. Nice job. Endure. Endure lamplight. Prophecy. Very nice. Lamplight. I like that one. Help meet. Nice job. Help meet in lamplight. Mm-hmm. Why? Why the lamplight? Mm-hmm. Establishing. Indeed. You see it? Nice. Obedience. Believe. Nice job. Sense. And giving. Praise Yahweh. Give yourself a great hand. And with this, we turn over to our first great speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Did you know that there are hospitals just for children with disabilities? A few summers ago, I had an opportunity to visit a hospital, one of these hospitals. And what I saw, I will always remember. There were so many children that were there with various disabilities. The majority of the children that were there were born with them. But there was one little boy that I will never forget. He was about 5 or 6 years old, and he was strapped into a wheelchair, so he was unable to get out. And he had to wear what they called a halo. It's a metal device that goes around your head, and it screws into your skull. Now, this was attached to tension strings and then to a metal rod. And essentially, it's supposed to stretch him so that one day his spine would be straight. What this little boy has to endure is the result of sin. He's unable to run and play outside and interact with children like he should. He can't go to school, and he always lives in this hospital. This is what we call the ripple effect of sin. So in 1 Yochanan 3, verse 4, it tells us that whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We know that sin is the breaking of any of Yahweh's laws, and because of this, all of mankind are suffering. Sin hurts, and the effects of sin, sickness, and disease reach every man, woman, and child in our world today. There are over 19 million abortions that have taken place so far this year, 357 million new STD infections, and 8 million babies are born every year with serious birth defects. The world is suffering. It's sad to look into the world and see the pain and the suffering that's taken place. It's sad to look into our own lives and see it too. But Yahweh tells us that there is hope for a world where there is no more pain and no more suffering. Yahweh is establishing us to be a part of the group of people who will put an end to all sin. Pastor told us in his last sermon that there were two things we really needed to focus on. Does anyone remember what they were? Obedience and endurance. So let's look at these two things. Obey means to comply with the command, direction, request of a person or a law. So we must follow and obey Yahweh's laws. And Yahweh tells us that if you keep his laws, there are rewards and promises that come for those who obey them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "So that you will reverence Yahweh your father by keeping his statutes, his laws, which I command you, your son, and your son's sons, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged." So Yahweh tells us that if we obey and keep his laws, he will bless us with a long life. Now, part of obedience means that you must teach the laws to your children also. So remember, we teach through our words and our actions. And in Deuteronomy 6, 7 is the scripture that tells us that we must teach them diligently. So diligently means all of the time. Every opportunity that you get, you should use it to talk about Yahweh and how Yahweh wants us to conduct ourselves. Have you noticed how much children enjoy speaking about Yahweh? They love to talk about creation and our Heavenly Father. So in Deuteronomy 6, verse 25, Yahweh tells us that righteousness is keeping his laws. And it says, "And it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all of this law before Yahweh our Father as he has commanded us." So we see here that righteousness is the opposite of sin. So you might think to yourself, "I want to be righteous. I want to keep the laws of Yahweh. But how do I do this?" Well, Yahweh doesn't leave you without a question answered. He tells you in Deuteronomy 17, verse 9, to go to the priest, and they will tell you about Yahweh. They will teach you how to obey and keep his laws. Remember, Yahweh is establishing us to be a part of the group of people who will put an end to all sin. So what example do we set for others? Because they follow our example. So if we are choosing to keep, are we choosing to keep the law? Are we choosing to teach it diligently to our children? Did you know that not making an active decision to keep the law of Yahweh is a decision to sin? Not making an active decision to teach it diligently to our children is a decision to sin and to teach them to accept the evil of this world. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, three times it tells us that we must obey Yahweh. But it is our choice. He doesn't force us to do anything. We are the ones who choose if we want to put an end to the pain and suffering we see, or if we are okay with the 19 million abortions, 357 new STD infections, and 8 million babies born with serious birth defects every year. You make the choice by what you choose to do today. So obedience is not always easy, or what some will say is the fun thing to do, but in the end, it will be well worth it. Yahweh tells us that if we keep his laws, he will be our father and we will be his children. And in Psalms 91, Yahweh promises protection to those who keep his laws. So that we know the tests and the trials, they are getting harder and harder. And the attacks from Satan get stronger and stronger the closer we get to perfection and to the end. But we must endure. Remember, Yahweh is establishing a group of people who will put an end to all sin. So the word endure means to carry on through despite hardship, carry on patiently through tests and trials. And Yahweh knew that in these last days it would be rough, so he has inspired words to encourage us. So we read in Jacob chapter 1 that we are reminded to be joyful when we are tested. That's Jacob 1, 2 to 4. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing the testing of your faith, develop endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, that you will become perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So testing develops endurance, and this is what Yahweh needs in each of us. It's necessary for us to become perfect. And in Jacob chapter 1, verse 12, it says, we see that enduring temptation is accounted to us as a blessing. Blessed is the one who endures temptation, for when they have been proven, they will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. So there are many rewards that come from enduring. Yahweh tells us here that you will have eternal life. Remember, rewards are promises from Yahweh. So in Revelations 21, verse 4, it says, and Yahweh will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, nor any more pain, for the former things would have passed away. So the little boy in the hospital that is strapped into the wheelchair and has to wear the metal halo, he won't be there anymore because he will be praising Yahweh. Because we would have been a part of the group of people who would have brought peace to the whole universe and stopped sin and suffering. One day soon, all of creation will be serving and worshiping Yahweh. Thank you to the greatest teacher in the world for giving me the opportunity to speak today and teaching all of us Yahweh's laws. If we'd all stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. You can be seated. The title of my speech today is Stay Planted. So today we're going to talk about how to stay planted, or in other words, how to allow Yahweh to establish us. In Genesis 1 verse 26, Yahweh says he will give mankind authority over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Yahweh wants to give us authority, and he is establishing us to have that authority right now. But what does being established actually mean? Well, the definition of the word establish from the Merriam-Webster's is to put someone or something in a position or role that will last for a long time. Yahweh establishing us is like him planting a seed. Because when you put a seed in the ground and you give it the proper care that it needs, such as sunlight and food and water, you're preparing it to become a plant that will last for a long time. And in the same way, when we first come to the house of Yahweh and we start keeping Yahweh's laws, a seed is planted and Yahweh begins preparing us for a long-lasting position of authority and the ability to create life. This is how the process of us being established begins. Now, just because we've been planted doesn't mean we'll automatically become established. Just like only planting a seed doesn't guarantee that it's going to become a plant. Some work has to be put in. And in Philippians 2, verse 3, it tells us that it is Yahweh who is at work in us. So how do we allow Yahweh to work within us and to establish us? Well, I'm going to talk about two ways, and the first way is guarding our minds. Proverbs 4, verse 22 tells us to guard our minds with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. We need to be mindful and aware of what's going on in our minds, what's being put into our minds every day, because whatever it is, that's going to affect our thinking, which is then going to affect our emotions, and then eventually going to affect our choices. And if we put negativity in our minds all the time, we're going to start thinking negatively and eventually make wrong choices all the time. But the more we have Yahweh on our minds, the more likely it will be that we will make the right decisions. So always be aware of what you're thinking and what you're being influenced by. Another important way we can allow Yahweh to establish us is by becoming humble and teachable. A humble person is submissive to those who are over them, and they're willing to learn. And because of their desire to learn and to grow, they're going to be able to accept any correction that's given to them. When you're humble, you understand that you don't know everything and that you don't have to be right all the time. We can't and will never be above our teacher. We'll never be above Yahweh. And we'll always be learning new things, even whenever we get to the kingdom. That's what we're here to do, to learn over and over. We have to develop an attitude of true humility and see that no one is better than the other person. We will be offered a position if we are humble. Luke 14, verse 11 says, "Whoever exalts himself will be abased." That means brought down. "But he who humbles himself, they will be exalted." Proverbs 29, verse 23 says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will be held up." Yahweh will exalt us if we develop a humble mindset and a heart that truly desires to learn and to keep growing. So guarding our minds and having humility will ensure that we will be established. The only way we won't be established is if we uproot ourselves. And we do that by rejecting and pushing Yahweh aside, becoming arrogant and rebellious. And that's how Satan threw her position away. Because Pastor told us that Yahweh established her too. In Genesis 3:14, he tells us that she had authority over all living things. She was able to create and to maintain life. But she wasn't thankful for any of that. She wanted more. She wanted to lift herself above Yahweh and be on top. So she lost her position and she uprooted herself. This is an example of what we are never to fall into. It is our job right now to remain in our place and to stay planted and allow Yahweh to establish us. And here's one final note. We don't have the ability to create and maintain life right now, but do you want to know the ability and power that we do have? It's to make choices and to choose. We each have the power to decide what choices we're going to make each day, whether it's going to get us closer to becoming established and getting those positions, or it's going to hinder us. And if we can prove to Yahweh that we can choose to make the right choices, he'll know that he can trust us with the even greater positions, powers, and abilities that he wants to give to us. So I encourage you, don't uproot yourself, stay planted, and allow Yahweh to establish you. And now I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you all may be seated. The title of my speech today is "Believe All That the Prophets Have Spoken." I've been able to witness the 7-year police plan: start, stop, and restart again. Before the first part of the 3.5 years, there were people who said this peace plan would not go into action. Then there were proven wrong, and the prophets were proven right. They said it wouldn't stop, but it stopped just as the prophet said it would. In Matthew 5, verse 17, it says, Yeshua said, "I'm not here to do away with the laws, but to establish them." The law and the prophets. And as we know in the house of Yahweh, Israel Hawkins has done the same thing. He's followed the example of Yeshua through the teaching and the publishing and the establishing of the house of Yahweh. You can find those references in Moshe 3, verse 7, Isaiah 2, verses 2, and Micah 4, verse 1. Yahweh has shown us countless times in scriptures. We've even had many sermons taught discussing this. Now, if you look online right now and you search out Oslo Accords, you won't find anything saying, oh, they've been restarted. You'll mostly find a bunch of articles saying, talking about the failed Oslo Accords 20 years ago or more, these failed Oslo Accords. No one's talking about the fact that they're restarted. And I ask you this question. Will you trust in Yahweh? I have been waiting and watching for this my whole life. I mean, I can't even remember a time I did not know about this 7 years peace plan that was going to be cut short. The anticipation for the 3.5 years, it was in the air, it was being talked about. My mother, the teachers, the Kahans, all my friends, my sister, I mean, the little children were talking about it. And then when it came to pass, it was amazing. And it was a very short clip that we got to watch. I know there was a lot of long documents that were written. I have to admit I didn't read any of them. But we went into many depths of it. So if you really want to read about it, we have the Mark of the Beast Volume 1 and 2. And there's a bunch of sermons from 1992, 1993, and 1994. You just need to call the office. And you can get the excitement about what's going on right now. I mean, it's amazing. Now, the time is now. It's not, you know, down the road 20 years from now. I have to admit, in 1997, when they stopped, could I imagine that it would be over 20 years? I actually kind of did, because I was wondering, how long will it be? Will I be patient enough to wait? Will I have that in me? And I remember casting my mind forward when I was small, thinking about that, going, how old will I be when the time comes? And I remember looking and saying, I'm going to be an adult. I'll no longer be a child. And that was amazing because, you know, I was small. And it felt so foreign. But here we are now. Are we going to believe in the last day's witness, Israel Hawkins, and get ready? Are we ready? Or are we, or will it be found with no oil in our lamps, running to and fro? Read the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. That is a very, very beautiful scripture. It's one of those things that when you read it, you remember it. And I'm telling you, you will apply it to so many things in your life. You'll be like, I need to be prepared. Did I read my scriptures before my class? Did I prepare for my test? Am I ready for the 3.5 years? There's just so many things that can apply to your life, and it's very nice. It says, then the kingdom of Yahweh may be compared to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And the 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. I mean, can you imagine you show up to the lamplight class and you brought no oil to put in your lamp? And not only did you bring no oil and put in your lamp, you didn't bring your book of Yahweh. So there's no oil. There's nothing to teach. You're empty. So when the children ask you, well, what are we going to talk about? I didn't bring my book of Yahweh. I got to go home. I got to go grab it. The lamp went out, so there's going to be no light to read by. Now, while the wise took oil in their jars with their lamps, they brought their book of Yahweh to services. They read before class. They brought the oil to light the lamp so they could see to read their scriptures. They were prepared. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Are we awake? Are we ready? Are we just going out our life through a daze, thinking, you know, it's not coming, or I'm tired? Well, many have let their light go out and has left the house of Yahweh because they said the peace plan will not be restarted. They called Israel Hawkins a false prophet. They called him a prophet of doom. Some even said, just in case he's right, I'll come back. Luke 24, verses 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, it's been over 20 years. Do you want to be a part of the ones who believed without seeing? Or do you think that only when I see the trouble will I come? Well, ask yourself, will you make it here? How long will your journey take? Will Yahweh's protections be on the unbelievers? 2 Timaiah 1, 6 through 7. Therefore, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of Yahweh, which is in you, through the laying of my hands. For Yahweh has not given us the spirit of mortal cowardice, being timid and fearful, but the power and of love and of sound mind. I pray for the kingdom to be here soon, and I ask that we all believe all that the prophets have spoken. And with that, I'd like to turn it on to my next speaker.
Shalom. You can be seated. Praise Yahweh. The title of my speech today is, We Have to Trust Yahweh in Order to Endure the Establishment. He wants to see us succeed. We all heard our great overseer say last week that we're being established right now, and we have to endure. The two most important things are endurance and obedience. Now realize, we're in the last 3.5 years. This is the final decision-making time, whether we love Yahweh or if we don't trust him. Yahweh has proven himself true through his prophecies, and we can rely on that. We can count on that. And can we really be deceived right now by some false prophet who claims they're the witness, or has Yahweh actually said that? Did Israel Hawkins say that? You know, after we've already been warned that the false prophets are going to be here and we see them? I mean, what could cause you to turn right now? What could be so desirable out there? You know, I know they make it look great, and the fallaways, they really make it look like they're enjoying their life, but they're not. They're just putting a pretense, and everyone who follows them are pretending with them. And there's no life out there. And our overseer gave a great sermon a long time ago. It was in the Going Out to Perfection. And it was Going Out to Perfection number 31. It's the deciding factor. And he was talking about, he had two plants. So one was real and one was fake. And he was talking about, you know, the difference in the house of Yahweh and the world and life and death. And how if we're not being careful regarding our mind or examining closely, we could, you know, think that the world has some sort of life. And in that sermon, he says, everything Yahweh created has life in it. Once the life starts to leave, there's nothing that can bring it back except Yahweh himself. Life is what you enjoy. If it wasn't for your life, you couldn't enjoy anything. Once that silver cord is broken, once that bowl that holds the brain that you overcome with is gone, you can't enjoy anything. You couldn't even enjoy a movie. Once that brain is gone, soon it'll fade. It's not forever. And once you leave, you cut off your source of life, because the life comes through Yahweh's laws, through the teachings from Yahweh's house. And now, I want to say something to young people, including myself, because most of you, like myself, were born here or brought here at a young age. But the decision to remain in Yahweh's house becomes yours at a point. And it's not going to be an easy decision that you make, but just like anything else you do, you have a reason why you do it. You have to have reasons why you choose to remain in Yahweh's house. And you won't realize them all right away, but it's great to have a foundation you can build upon and grow from there. And Yahweh knows you can do it, and that's why he allowed you to be here at this time. He allowed you to be brought here by your parents. Don't throw it away, because you're throwing away your life. Yahweh's plan for mankind is to build himself a family that he can trust and give authority to, and that's what we see in Genesis 1:26. He called you here to succeed, and he won't let you down. Actually, in Psalms 55:22, it says, cast your cares on Yahweh, because he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Why would you leave? Because it gets hard. You know, it's not getting better now, so it's never going to be better. Well, he won't give you more than you can bear, he said. You can trust that. And he's not going to fail you. And again, someone told me here recently, they were talking about themselves and a couple other people, and they said, you know, if you think we would turn from you or fail you, it shows that you don't think very highly of us. And it really made me think, because there's a lot of people here that want to see you succeed and want to see you make it. And sometimes that's hard to realize, but it's, in the end, it's the truth. And Yahweh says it himself. If you leave now, you're just showing that you're not trusting in Yahweh. And you're not thinking very highly of him or his plan he has for you, that he wants you to be a part of. He wants you to be a part of that plan, but you're going to have to prove to him that he can trust you, that you won't turn to sin, that there's not one thing that can cause you to turn to this world. That's the deciding factor. Right now is the time to take this establishment seriously. You know, this is the very end. This is it. The prophecies are coming to pass. They're being fulfilled. We see them. We can believe them. We can trust in them. And know that none of them have failed so far, so the rest are going to come true. So believing that thing we do, we can be the ones to fulfill Genesis 1:26 and be the very elect. But it's going to take determination and the willingness to do so. Because if you don't have the will to do so, then you're not really setting yourself up for failure. I mean, you have to have the will to actually live, to actually want to fulfill the plan Yahweh has for you. It's going to take setting your mind in advance, because things, yes, are going to come your direction. Even after you make that decision to remain in Yahweh's house, you're going to get temptations, yes, and not all the time are you going to make the right choice. There's times you're going to fail, but you can still get back up and do it again. And that's what Yahweh's looking for. He's looking to see that you get back up and try again. Because he has so much for you. He has so much potential and that he sees in you. And that's why he called you here. So, I mean, we've made it this far. What would be the point if we turn now? Let's keep on trusting Yahweh and believing in his plan that he has for us and for everyone here. And realize that it's not just for us right now, but that we can help other people in the end. You know, that's what he calls here, to people that can bring forth peace, people that can bring forth life. That's what he wants us to become. And I want to read Hebrews 10:35-37. It says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For now you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you can receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not delay." And Yahshua said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works will be." Let our works be righteous. Let our works be the will of Yahweh. Because it's going to be a lot worth it in the end. You know, just think, won't it just be a joyous day? And when you hear the voice of Yahweh saying, you know, you've made it. You endured that establishment. You remained in my house. You believed the prophecy. You trusted in me. You fulfilled the prophecies. You didn't allow anything to turn you away. And you stood up for righteousness. You know, it'll sure be worth it then. And with this, I'd like to turn over to our next speaker.
Come, everyone. Please be seated. How wonderful is this place? This is none other than the house of Yahweh, the gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh. Surely righteousness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Because upon this rock, Yahweh unity, I will build my house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you all agree that this is none other than the great house of Yahweh, the gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. Why do you believe this? What is keeping you here at the pillar and ground of the truth, the gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh? A few months ago, I was asked, "Why are you in the house of Yahweh?" And I didn't quite know what to say. The person's like, "It's because of your belief in Yahweh and in the prophecies, right?" So I just said, "Yes." I didn't really know why. And later on, I thought about it. Why was I here? I had an amazing family, an awesome work area, but why was I here in the house of Yahweh? There was a test that seemed like my hardest a few years ago, and you see, I was disappointed in Yahweh. Why would he allow me to go through something so difficult? I was only 11 years old at the time. I kept asking myself, why did this have to occur to me? Because it still affects me to this day. I didn't understand why I had to go through such a hard time. Each one of us has a story to tell. Each one of us have a test we didn't really want to endure. Each one of us had to make the choice to stay or to go.
because the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. But behold, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been proved, he will receive the crown and life which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you so that you do not commit sin. As we look back, I realized that Yahweh knew exactly what I needed to develop his character in me. I learned to put my full trust in Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding. In you, O Yahweh, we put our trust. You do save those who put their trust in you, Yahweh. I also had to learn humility. I can't do everything on my own. I need guidance and assistance just like every one of us. I needed the people Yahweh put in my life. As I look back, I wouldn't be the person I am today without having endured the trials. Why are you here? What is keeping you here at the pillar and ground of the truth, the gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh? I can't imagine my life without Yahweh in the house of Yahweh. As a child, I was trained Yahweh's way of life. My joy came from reading the scriptures. Even though I didn't understand everything, I still loved reading them. The scriptures were and still are always being talked about at home. At the supper table, we shared what we read and studied that week. In the car, my dad always focused us on Yahweh, on the laws. And every day, he made sure that we had something to share that we had read and studied so we could share with the whole family. As a three-year-old, I wouldn't go to sleep until the book of Yonah was read to me. My love for the scriptures was instilled in me at a young age. It was always stressed to me how important Yahweh was and how we should keep his laws. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And you must teach them diligently to your children, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I remember not wanting to leave, but yet I still didn't know why I was here. At Pentecost, it became clear to me why I was here. The prophecies are being fulfilled right before my very eyes. We are Yahweh's seventh and last finishing work. We are in this last time period. We are the holy woman of new fulfilling prophecy. In this last generation, there is no place I'd rather be. I choose to remain in the great house of Yahweh because I believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe, because I believe in Yahshua as our high priest and our savior, because I believe that Pastor Israel Hawkins is the one anointed to preach salvation. I believe in the prophecies and in the living book of Yahweh. I believe in the plan of Yahweh that he has for you and for me, for each and every one of us. Fight the fight of the faith, lay hold on eternal life. Hold fast, let nothing take your crown. For your notes, here are the list of scriptures I've referenced in my speech. Genesis 28:17, Psalm 26:3, Ecclesiastes 16:18, Ecclesiastes 9:11, Job 1:12, Exodus 20:20, Proverbs 3:5, Psalm 1:11, Psalm 17:7, Proverbs 22:6, and Deuteronomy 6:7. What keeps you here in the great house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth, the gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh? Because how wonderful is this place? This is none other than the great house of Yahweh, the gateway, the entrance to the kingdom of Yahweh. I would like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Khan Yisro Abel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak today and for teaching us Yahweh's way of life and encouraging us to endure until the end. Please stand and welcome the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to rehearse what Pastor has shown us about establishing us as a holy people to Yahweh. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 28 on page 169, Deuteronomy 28 in verse 9, it says, Yahweh will establish you as his holy people unto himself, as he promised you on oath, if you will keep the laws of Yahweh your father and walk in all his ways. And then the next page over, Deuteronomy 29, and verse 12, you are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with Yahweh, your father, a covenant which Yahweh is making with you this day and sealing with an oath to establish and confirm you this day as a people unto himself, that he will be your father, just as he promised you as he vowed on oath to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm making this covenant with its oath, not only with you alone, you who are standing here this day, but also with those who are not here this day. So notice Moshe, he talked about a people that weren't there. He was speaking of this last day's house, us who are the finishing work of Genesis 1:26. In Isaiah 2:2, Yahweh says, now in these last days, I will establish my house. That word establish from Webster's New World Dictionary. It means to make stable, firm, unmovable, to set up a government, a kingdom, a people, to ordain, set in order, to set in an office or a position. Remember, we are being established through prophecy. In Amosiah 3, verse 7, it says, I won't have any other work unless it's been prophesied. In Hebrews 3, on page 944, Hebrews 3 and verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahshua Messiah, who was faithful to him, Yahweh, who begot him, just as Moshe was faithful in all the house of Yahweh. Now this one was accounted worthy of more glory than Moshe, since he who had prepared the house of Yahweh has more honor than the house of Yahweh. Now every house is built by someone, but the one having ordained all things as Yahweh. Now Moshe was truly faithful as a manager in all the house of Yahweh, as a testimony to those things which were to be spoken after, that the Messiah as a son is over Yahweh's own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence, rejoicing of the hope, firm until the end. And in verse 4, notice that word built. Hold your place here and look to Zechariah 6 on page 719. Zechariah 6 and verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. He will branch out of his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. Yahshua is commanded to behold the branch who builds the house of Yahweh. Look back to Hebrews 3 and notice in verse 5, he says, was faithful as a manager. A manager. Look at Isaiah 44 on page 558. Isaiah 44 and verse 7. And who as I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and those things which are coming and will come, let them foretell them. Foretell and set in order, manage the house of Yahweh. Israel Hawkins had to have the authority to establish the house of Yahweh, which is the body of Messiah. One body, but many members, which is us, as 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2 says. That authority only comes through prophecy. Revelation 11, 3, Isaiah 44, Zechariah 6, and many others. Be turning over to Matithia 23, page 752. Yahshua recognized this about Yisrael Hawkins, Matithia 23, and said in verse 39, for I say to you, from this moment, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. No one will see Yahshua himself until we say, blessed is Yisrael Hawkins who comes with the authority prophesied for the last days in the name of Yahweh. Only Yisrael Hawkins comes in this prophesied authority to establish the called out ones as the family of Yahweh. Now, what is our job? Look over to Hebrews 3 again, page 944. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. It says that the Messiah as a son is over Yahweh's own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. And then in Amosiah 3, verse 3, on page 696, it says, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Our job is to hold fast and be in 100% agreement with Yisrael Hawkins. Last week, Overseer told us to get weaned off the ways of the world. And he gave us two keys, obey and endure. I pray we all work hard to accomplish this so we can be established forever as Yahweh's own family. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated, please. Okay. So, the title of my speech today is Our Acceptance of Life Continues. Now, Father Yahweh says in Isaiah 65, 1, I am sought by those who did not ask for me. I am found by those who did not seek me. Now, over the years, we've heard different testimonies from different ones who've talked about, you know, searching high and low and knowing that the Creator had a name and all these different stories of how they searched for a great place. where they would find Father Yahweh. Well, I stand here as one who did not seek. I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't asking any questions. But I have been here learning about Father Yahweh and how to accept life now for 9 years. Hey, John. It's truly amazing when you sit and you really think of how awesome our great witness is able to teach us how all these things were preordained from the beginning, since the beginning. And for over thousands of years, to the smallest detail, these things were set in advance. Now, I might not have been looking for anything, but prior to, Father Yahweh already knew that I was coming. Now, in Proverbs 25:2, if you go over to Proverbs 25:2, it says, "The glory of Yahweh lies in what he conceals, but the glory of kings lies in the matters they search out." Now, when we first look at that statement, we see what Yahweh conceals. Scriptures may come to mind as of Revelations 10:7 or even Daniel 12:4. And from those, you think of prophecy. But what about the fact that it took our mighty teacher, a lowly Oki, to explain to us that our names were already written in the book of life? Yahweh knew us before he laid the foundations of the earth. And Yahweh protected us and guided us here at the right time. But even more awesome is that nobody knew the plans that the creator of all had for each and every one of us. Nobody knew. These things were also concealed. And that once we have finally finished our course, we will forever, forever be a part of Yahweh's glory. Now, listen, it doesn't matter how you got here, whether you were searching high and low, whether you were born here, or whether you got in the right car at the right time with the right person to get here. It doesn't matter how you got here, but as the previous speaker has said before me, the choices that you make once you get here of whether or not you want to endure and stick it out and put those cement boots on and stay around to immerse yourself in the learning of accepting life, or whether you want to go out and chase death. That's what matters. Praise God. Because Yahweh plainly tells us in Deuteronomy 30:19 that he has called heaven and the earth to witness us either being established as guardians of life or proving that we willingly throw away our opportunity of and going back to adding curses that cause death. Now, as the years start to pass, it doesn't get easier. As Exodus 20:20 tells us, we are guaranteed to be tested and tried. Because remember, the heavens and the earth want to know that they can trust us. But most importantly, Yahweh wants to know what's in our hearts. And for anyone who has been here for some time, you can definitely testify that your heart has changed. Your thoughts are different. Your feelings towards certain issues and circumstances have changed. And your speech, our speech. Do we even speak English anymore? I'm pretty sure our language now is just Yahweh. And this was preordained, all of this. As it says in Luke 6:45, it tells us that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth truly speaks.
And also in Matthew 12:35, it says that righteous things come forth from ones who store up righteousness in their heart. Now, okay, so I want to give you a few examples so that it'll solidify in your mind that you are truly being changed, okay? So you remember back when you first came and you sat down to read, probably pulled out one of these. You sat down to read, and boy, you were so excited and you were so hungry. You flew through this thing. I mean, it took no time. But now you get up early in the morning, right? Early in the morning. Like, you got to turn on all the lights in your house just to trick your brain into thinking, okay, it's really daytime. It's time to get up. Okay, so you sit down. You got your reading material. You got your pen. You got your highlighter. You got, oh, look, you got an extra pen. You got a marker just in case. You got your protractor. You got your ruler. You're ready. So you sit down. You're studying. Next thing you know, here come your children. Mom, is breakfast ready? We're hungry. What's to eat? What time is it? Oh, man, I must be finished with this thing. So then you check to look. Page 3. Page 1 is the title page. Oh, my word. I've given like 5 mini sermons. I've had examples, scripture references. I've had definitions. Okay. So your mind is like totally focused on this scripture goes with that scripture. That scripture goes with this scripture. This stuff takes more time now. Okay. It might not be y'all. It might just be me. Okay, another example. So you're rushing to work. We got to get to work. We got to do this work. Do the work, Yahweh. Okay, so we're getting to work. I got to pray before I go in. We go to lift our hands so we can pray. Get started. How can I take your order? Wait a minute. That's not right. Okay, that only occurred once, and I'm kind of getting the idea that that might just be me. But anyways, you get the idea. You know, your mind, your heart, everything is changing. You're focused on Yahweh's word. You're focused on Yahweh's work. You can tell the difference. Okay, so now if we can turn over to Romans 8. I'd like to go over to Romans 8 for my closing scripture. We'll go over verses 12 through 14 and 16 through 17. And it says, therefore, family, we are under obligation through the Spirit, which we know is the keeping of Yahweh's laws, which bring life, Yochanan 6:63, putting to death the evil doings of mankind who live according to the flesh. For as many as are led by the laws, which is loving the laws and becoming holy, they are the children of Yahweh. Yahweh's Spirit itself testifies. We become one in unity with Yahweh. Our glory becomes firmly set as Yahweh's glory is firmly set. We become established. You see that changing? Yahweh's Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are His children, and we become heirs of Yahweh jointly with Yahshua. And Yahshua has set an awesome example for us, family. And it's right here in this great book, our great teacher. He brings it out like none other. If you just sit and you immerse yourself in this great learning of accepting life, and you remember those two keys, the other speakers have already talked about it, obedience and endurance. We can do it, great family. The time is short. And I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Please sit. The title of my speech today is called Why Not Endure? I'm going to start off with the definition of the word endure from the Webster's New World Dictionary. And it says to hold up under pain, fatigue, etc. To tolerate, to continue, to bear pain without flinching. I want to go to some examples that are in the scriptures of men and women. There are many examples that endured, continued to endure with everything that was put upon them. Abraham, when he was told to kill Isaac in Genesis 22, verse 1 through 14, it's not like Abraham went, Yahweh, let's talk about this. This is my only son. I don't know about this. No, he endured. He trusted Father Yahweh. He did what he had to do. Praise Yahweh, he was stopped. Yashub, the whole book of Yashub, everything that he had gone through, everything. I mean, I couldn't imagine the sicknesses, the diseases, his wife even saying, come on, just curse him, get it over with. He wouldn't have anything to do with that. He continued to endure and trusted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, they didn't go, hey, fiery furnace, maybe we should think about this, guys. No, they again trusted and continued to endure, trusting Father Yahweh 100%. Daniel in the lion's den, you know, that could have been a completely different outcome, but no, he trusted. And I could just see him standing there petting the lion. I don't know, just me, maybe, I don't know. And Satan trying to tempt Yahshua in Matthew chapter 4. Yahshua would have nothing to do with it. He continued to stand his ground. He continued to trust Father Yahweh, and he knew the plan. So in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and I'm going to go about halfway through it. It says, why does the way of the wicked succeed? Why do all those who deal very treacherously live joyously? As many of the other speakers have already said, we know that's not true. We know that they don't. I want to go to the side note that says G2. It says, this question has been always a great temptation to the righteous, to see the wicked enemy of Yahweh doing well and his dear children in adversity. We're not in adversity. There is no way in the world. We have nothing but hope, and that's what we hold on to. And in Romans 5, verse 3 through 5, Yahweh says to us, and not only so, but let us also rejoice in our tribulations, because we know that tribulation produces patience, unswerving perseverance, and patience, maturity of character, and character, hope. Again, that's what we have, is that hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because Yahweh has poured out his love into our minds by the Spirit Holy, which he has given to us. Remember, he's telling us in this to rejoice in our test. Always rejoice in our test. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, this is my most honored scripture, and has been quoted by some of the other speakers as well. There is no temptation taken hold of you except what is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And again, Jacob, I think some of these ladies gave my speech today. Jacob's 1, verse 2 through 4 and verse 12 says, my brothers, and we know that doesn't mean just the brothers. We know that it includes us as well, sisters. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work, that you can become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The last couple of weeks, Satan has truly, brutally attacked me, and I know that it has been many of you as well. And I was trying to think why, what is going on? And I realized that since Pentecost, when the overseer had announced to us that we are in the last 3.5 years, Satan realized just exactly how short her time is. And she hasn't kicked it up one level. She's kicked it up a lot of levels. So believe it or not, we are gaining strength in the house of Yahweh. I know that may sound a little bit crazy. We're always stumbling and falling, but we pick ourselves up. We continue to dust ourselves off and continue to go forward. But we are becoming stronger. If we weren't becoming stronger, those tests would not be coming at us, more than one at a time, coming at us from all different directions, coming at us from the outside, the inside, our family, everywhere. And they're not getting easier, not even close. I remember a sermon that great Kahanya Didia had given a long time ago, and it's sad to say the only thing I remember from the sermon was this part. But he told us it wasn't going to get easier the closer it got to the end. And I held on to that. I held on to that one little piece. So Yahweh is not setting us, in the same aspect. I have a great, amazing support team. I know each and every one of us do. That has helped me these last couple of weeks. That has picked me up when I didn't want to pick myself up. Dusted me off and said, you can do this. I kept saying, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to. They kept telling me, you can, you can. I'm thankful so much for that. Yahweh is not setting us up to fail. Yahweh is only setting us up to succeed. He's given us everything that we need. Your classes, the sermons, and if you're not able to make it, you can catch them online, which is a great and awesome blessing. Your PWs, your newsletters, the books of Yisro, the book of Yahweh, everything Yahweh has given us. There's no excuse for us to fail. There's no excuse that we cannot succeed. None whatsoever. Satan says we can't do it. Yahweh says we can. So again, I want to ask you the same question. Why not endure? It's been a great honor to speak to the great house of Yahweh. Now I turn over to the next speaker.
You can all be seated. Shalom, everyone. Women, if new. Okay, I'm going to do my very best to practice my B teacher's training. So let me begin. Oh, now I wasn't supposed to say that. Okay, my title is How Powerful is the Ability to Choose? How powerful is the ability to choose? I was just thinking, what does the 7-year prophecy have to do with our heart-brain connection to Yahweh spiritually? And how Israel and Yeshua, Yahweh's sons, how they're working together as one to complete Yahweh establishing us in order to fulfill Genesis 1:26. That's what sons are for. Sons are to help the father build the work. Help the father build the work. Encourage the sons to help the father build this great work. Not tear the sons down, build them up. You build up the son, you build up the fathers. Same as the daughters. You build up the daughters, you build up the father. And we all have one father here, don't we? Yes, we do. Now, how powerful is the ability to choose? Cain chose to be angry. And he was asked, Genesis 4:6, why? Why, Cain? Why are you angry? Why did you choose to be angry? As we know, anger is a secondary emotion. Why did you choose to be angry, Cain? And because of Cain's choice to be angry, we have Genesis 4:14, continuous war, vengeance, and retaliation, which led to Cain experiencing bloodshed. Whose blood did he spill? Abel's. And the ripple effect of that is Revelation 11:18. Now the nations are angry, which are just the great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of Cain. They also made the choice to be angry. And because of that, bloodshed is being spilled. Bloodshed is being spilled everywhere, every day. It's not just going to take place when the 3.5 years is cut short and sudden destruction. It's taking place now. But at that point, it's going to be multiplied. I don't even have a number to multiply it by. That's how many lives are going to be lost. Psalms 8, verses 4 through 6. The question is, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the Malakim, but you will crown him with glory and honor. A little lower. A little, that means it's not a lot. It's a little. We're just a little lower than the Malakim. A little lower. And keep that in mind. You made man to be the ruler over the works of your hands. You will put all things under his feet. And we understand that desire from Yahweh from Genesis 1:26. On page 13 in the third Roman PW, the overseer wrote, who was inspired by our high priest and king, who's always been guiding the overseer. The overseer wrote, of all of Yahweh's creation, all means all of Yahweh's creation, mankind is the only, you know when you see a sign that says like dogs only or men only, women only, birds only, raccoons only? Mankind is the only living being capable of making a choice. Mankind out of the entire heavens. Remember that little video we watched, one of the Kohan showed us? The Hubble telescope, which I thought was big, but it's really little. That little glimpse of the universe. Out of all of Yahweh's creation, we that are sitting here, we on this planet, are the only ones capable of making a choice. That's why it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? There's your answer. This is why I am mindful of man. This is why. Yahweh, we all know he's the creator of everything existing. There isn't anything on the earth that doesn't belong to Yahweh. The nuclear missiles are his too. He didn't say use the material to make bombs, but the material belongs to Yahweh. They chose to use the material to make the bombs. Yahweh has allowed Satan full authority in order to prove to heaven and earth what sin causes. And you know what? Satan has a heart. Did you know that? She has a heart. Forget the aliens Hollywood created, the lizard-looking like creatures, the three-eyed beasts. Yahweh does not practice bestiality. He would never marry an animal. Never. Satan is she's a female. She has two eyes, a nose, probably. She has coily hair, probably very thick. She probably has nail polish. She probably wears lace front wigs. She probably has a lot of clothing. She's a woman. She has a heart. Because in Isaiah 14:13 expresses what's in her heart. She didn't have the laws of Yahweh in her heart anymore. She removed it. And once you remove the law of Yahweh out of our heart, we are not in unity with Yahweh anymore. Satan put in her heart the evil to be over Yahweh, over all that his fingers have made. That is what he's given to mankind. She wants that for herself. That's her heart. And you can see the example of her heart in her children. Cain is a perfect example. And another perfect example of Satan's heart desire is the 7-year peace treaty that was signed in on 9/13/93. That's not orchestrated by Yahweh. That's her proving that she can bring peace, about peace. And the reason why it's important to us is because in 1976, Yahweh's last day's witness, inspired by a high priest and king, in Revelation 22:16, Yeshua said, I sent my Malak to do what? To tell you these things. That's why that event is important. Because there's so many things occurring everywhere. America. I don't even know the places. Things occurring, India, China, Japan, Russia. It's everywhere. But this particular location was chosen. In Revelation 22:16, Yeshua said, I sent my Malak to tell the people this. The overseer wrote about it in 1976. 17 years later, 1993, it was on TV for those of us who watched it. It was put out for all to see, not just earth, the heavens also. It shows the connection here between Yeshua and Israel. Yeshua guides him. Everybody has a head. He's not exempt. Israel Hawkins has a head, and his name is Yeshua, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. And once we keep that in mind and remember it, the plan of Yahweh is so real. Yeshua is a real person. He wears shoes, he wears pants, he has a tallit, he has a keeper, he eats. He has emotions that he controls. He's just as alive today as Israel Hawkins is. Now, the adversary, this is her plan. It's not Yahweh's plan, but Yahweh is using this to show us I do not want my people to have evil in their heart, because this is what I will do. He's saying, Yemimia, you were turning into the devil. I don't want to turn into the devil. I see what she has caused. I don't want that. And the fight is real. Sometimes you feel like you about to say running a race. We are running a race. But sometimes at the end of the day, you're tired for fighting off thoughts. Cleaning out that heart is not easy, but it's not impossible. I always encourage people to talk to your heart. It's not a Christian thing because they don't know anything. It's a Yahweh thing. And I'm saying talk to your heart because it has a brain. Tell the heart, I don't want to be evil like the gods. Because this is what it brings about. He said it will bring about total destruction. The 7-year peace plan, Daniel 8:25, will destroy many. The 7-year peace plan will end with destruction. There isn't anything that Yahweh does that end with destruction. Yahweh is not a destructive being. That's the gods. The gods are destructive. That's how you know it's not of Yahweh. It's Satan's doing, that he is allowing her to bring this about so us here can witness it. So we can see, because of that choice of Cain, Cain's choice led to this. And he's telling us, I don't want that for my house. And yes, we do encounter that. And I know we don't like talking about it, but we must make a choice not to argue. It takes two people to argue, one to stop, and then you don't argue anymore. I was told years ago by a great counselor that I must show Yahweh that I want to go out of my way to make peace. And I was like, why? He said, you must show Yahweh you want to make peace. It was the most difficult thing in my life at that time, because I didn't want to call the person back and say I was sorry because I was right. And that's the lust that I didn't realize I was fighting with. So when I practice doing it over a period of time, it now is normal. I can just do it. I really fight not to argue, because I tell my heart, we don't argue, we don't war. I don't want war in my genes. I want to be able to be used. Like on page 89 in the book of Yahweh, so I'm down to 1 minute. Thank you, timer. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Says, behold, I show you a great secret truth. Who is showing us this truth? The overseer. Because Yeshua is revealing it to him, so the last day's witness is showing us. He said, we, get that word? We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And when I read this before, I was thinking he meant just us here, like half the congregation going to die. But when I listened to him again, he's talking about the entire planet. Everyone will not be destroyed when this come about, because you have to have someone alive to raise the dead. And we need women to raise the dead. Women of new, we are the ones who will raise the women. And I encourage everyone to keep that in mind. The promises that Yahweh has given us, the promises that Yeshua has inspired the last day's witness to remind us, to share with us, to tell us, they're real. They're just as real as, okay, I don't want to do harm. I'm going to say if I was sticking with a needle, you'll feel it. No, they're just as real as feeling heat in the sanctuary in your heart. You feel that heat? Everything is real. It's not fake. It's not made up. The stop sign right now that's looking at me is real. So with this, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, my family of Yahweh. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is Do Not Destroy Fruit Trees. Come out from among them and be separate. If you want to turn in the back of your book of Yahweh to page 5b, this is Prohibitive Law 57. Now, I want you to think, what causes the process to start that would destroy fruit trees? Could you put the tree? They can get microbes and diseases that come from the soil that go up into the tree that affect its system, affects how it functions from the inside. But it can also be affected externally by bugs and diseases and funguses that attack it from the outside, or they attack its crown. They attack what we used to call in the garden center the head of the tree. Now, I bet you're wondering, what does this possibly have to do with coming out from among them and being separate? Sisters, we are the trees. And remember that, we are the trees. In Matthew 7:16 through 20, Yahshua Messiah reminded us that we are either going to be trees of righteousness or trees of iniquity. We can only bring forth one fruit. We are being trained to be trees that bring forth righteous fruit. And Yachanan the Immerser reminded us in Matthew 3:10 that trees that do not bear righteous fruit are going to be cut down and cast into the fire. Now, Yahweh tested and tried these laws for mankind. And what he's telling us through this law is, don't partake of what will make us trees of iniquity that will cause us to be destroyed. And I always wondered why this law was listed in this section, because the title of the section, if you are looking at it in your book, is Not to Make Allies with God-Worshipping Nations. And I was like, I've always wondered why it wasn't listed in the laws concerning agriculture. Now remember, we are the trees. The answer can be found if you look in the law right above it, Prohibitive Law 56. It says, don't have fellowship with God worshipers who refuse to repent or are not called to repentance. And it's not talking about not giving people the message when people seek it. It's talking about going above and beyond that and getting involved in the God worshiping lifestyle that they live. Now, that word fellowship means in the first book of Israel, chapter 34, page 284. It means to share in company with, co-participate in, communicate with, have fellowship with, to share together with, which also includes to cohabitate with, and to partake of. Now, how do we do that? We do that in our actions and our activities, in our interests and our lifestyles, through wealth and finances. We start supporting the ways of God worship, spending money on Six Flags and going to clubs, or spending money on booze or treating people to McDonald's. We support the ways of God worship. We also do it through our morality and our character. We start to drop those standards that we've been learning that are supposed to bring us to perfection. And we also do it through our feelings and friendly relations. We get involved in people's lives, get caught up in their conversations, not being strict examples of Yahweh's laws. And we start to approve of the evil things that they do, and we ourselves start to get caught up in that sin. And instead of being professional and letting business be business, because a lot of times we get caught up when we go out into the world and it's easy to fall into that trap. We're not here to be rude to people. We practice peaceful solution, but be professional. Let business be business. Now, who are these God worshipers? It's anyone who does not do the will of Yahweh, or those who Yahweh has not opened their minds and who want to continue to hang on to a lifestyle of sin and evil. Now, that includes worldly kin and relatives or old friends, family and friends who fell away, and the general public, co-workers that we see every day or people that we interact with in the world. And again, that's not giving them the message. It's just being professional, being examples of Yahweh's law when we have to be among them. Now, when we fellowship and hang on to God worshipers, we fall back into breaking, if you look up to the top of that section, Prohibitive Law 46. It says, do not turn back to the ways of God worship and sin. Why? Because it destroys fruit trees. Prohibitive Law 47, don't follow the teachings other than the laws of Yahweh taught by the house of Yahweh. Why? Because it destroys fruit trees. And look at Prohibitive Law 52. Don't make marriages with God worshipers. Why? Because it destroys fruit trees. Now, that word marriage doesn't just include forming relationships with people of the world. It also means to be joined in a common bond, like with through genetics, with our old kinfolk and family members. Now, for your notes, you can write down Isaiah 9:14, because it shows that word in another context of the word marriage. But when we keep fellowshipping and hanging on to God worshipers, we end up taking on the uncleanness, the poisons, the STDs, the sicknesses and diseases that not only become a thorn in our flesh, in our bodily system, but become thorns in our mind, in our head. We are going to end up becoming trees of iniquity that are fit to be burned. Now, Yahweh gave us this law as a warning. He said, don't have a part with God worshipers who live God worship and evil. Now, sisters, we don't have time to wait for the nuclear baby. We don't have time to wait for the communication to get cut off and to get home to Abel and say, okay, Father Yahweh, you didn't call them out. I'm going to let them go and start keeping your law and cleansing and striving for holiness. We don't have that kind of time. If anyone noticed yesterday, President Trump held off hitting Iran. Everyone saw that? He held it off. Yahweh's not waiting for the world. I just saw an article before I got up here that said Iran has said the Middle East is ready to be set on fire. Yahweh's not waiting for them. He's waiting for us to be firmly established as trees in his house. Praise Yahweh. Now, through this law, to close, Yahweh is telling us to come out from among the world and be separate so that he can permanently establish us as trees. And write for your notes and go back and read it later, Psalm 1:1-3, because this is what he's trying to accomplish in us. He wants to permanently establish us as trees that will forever, remember that, forever, we are the trees, forever bring forth fruits of righteousness and holiness. And with that, great sisters, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you. And if you all please stand. Yahweh bless your understanding and the rest of your Sabbath. Now turn the services over to the next teacher. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom. You may be, please be seated. Okay. I practiced all the time before I got up here not to say that. I'm going to talk about the Lamplight Cafeteria today. Now, first day morning when I went into work, I went over to turn the lights on as usual, and the switches were on, but there weren't any lights. It was dark. So I checked the breaker, still no lights. So we had a few lamps, and I went about using the lamps, and I called a few sisters and asked them to bring lamps so we could see to cook. Okay. So they brought them, and if you could show my picture. No, the picture. The picture? Anyway, it was a picture of the Lamplight Cafeteria in the dark with the lamps on. So everybody right away started looking up in the gematria and everything, what that meant, why we were in the lamplight. And in the gematrix, women under a lamplight in the cafeteria, it was 1869, to tread and lead. Of course, we know that Pastor leads us. But then in the theological word book of the Old Testament, 453, it constantly refers to Yahweh as he leads the righteous in straight paths. Well, we know that Yahweh sent Pastor to do that. He's the one sent. And then it was 1932, comes from 33, when Pastor was conceived, and that corresponds with his birth year. And, of course, we know 322 is his tag. Well, we were there under the lamplight, so everybody looked it up a different way. So the next one was Lamplight Cafeteria in the Gematronator. And it was 166 in Hebrew, clear and shine. In Greek, it was 166 from 165, eternal, forever, and everlasting. That means the cafeteria is going to be here forever, somewhere. So don't worry, there'll always be food. Okay. Well, then 465 was another number. And I looked down, and it has the words of other things that have that same number, and there was the messenger. So Lamplight Cafeteria and the messenger in Strong's Greek, 465, is an equivalent of a ransom in exchange. And right away, I couldn't help but think about Yahshua paying the ransom for our life with his life. And then 828 was Pastor's birth year, and 138 was my ruler is Yahweh. And I was, they have the name Yahweh in there. So they know the name. Well, we did this on Noah 12th. On Noah 12th, I called Pastor that day, and I said, we're just a bunch of women in the Lamplight Cafeteria working by the lamplight. And he said, that's what we're going to do, change the name to the Lamplight Cafeteria. He loved it. So now we are the Lamplight Cafeteria. Well, we did it on Noah 12, and that comes from 41, from 1 and 5068, Father of Generosity. We all know who that is. Father in a literal and immediate application. And then from Hebrew 50:68, to volunteer, to present spontaneously, offer freely, give, make, offer self-willingly. That's us, the House of Yahweh workers. That's what we do. We offer freely, willingly. We do it day after day because we know what it's all about. And then continued on, at Strong's in 53, it says, it's from Samus 40, properly, clean, innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, clean and pure. That's us again. That's us in all the areas of the work. We all work hard and we all are modest. And, well, I don't know about perfect for me, but I'm working on it. So, and then in, it's not to, okay, so here we are in the Lamplight. We've changed the name of the cafeteria to the Lamplight Cafeteria. But then I keep thinking about Pastor. He said 3.5 years we're in it. We don't even know how long it'll be because it's going to be cut short. And I thought, I can't help but think, but I got so much more to overcome. And don't you get, your heart starts pounding. You think, I can't, all these thoughts keep coming in my mind and different stuff. And I know that what comes into your mind, you can't control. What you do with it when it's in your mind is what we have to control. So I work on that hard and everything, but still I don't feel like I can do it. But then I remember a few years ago I had a dream, and I gave a speech on it. And in this dream, Pastor was up on a cloud with another person. I couldn't see who the person was, but I could tell that they were going up. And I was like, I was devastated. Pastor, just one? Only one's going? And he just looked down at me and he said, it's not too late. You still have time, but you're going to have to hurry. So, you know the comfort that gives us. We still have time, sisters. We still have time to put our heart in this work, in this house, to use all of our time towards Yahweh. Not meaning don't rest. We all have to rest, and I have to rest more, I find, as I get older. But we still have time to work as hard as we can to do this work and to get ready for the kingdom. I looked up what Pastor said in Greek, in the Germaninator, anyway, in Greek, in Strong's, it says, spoil, an object of eager desire. Isn't that what we are? Isn't that it? That's the object of eager desire, to be in that kingdom. And if we put our focus on that object straight ahead and think of nothing else, we will get there. And we might not be perfect, like Pastor said, but we'll be doing the very best we can to become perfect. And then we'll be made perfect. And with that, I turn it over to the next teacher.
Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Shabbat Shalom, too. And my title today is A Helpmeet with a Purse and the Teaching of Yahweh's Laws. Now, why is it that we, the women here, are called helpmeets? And the King James Version says helpmeets, and that's the original, so we're going to say helpmeets instead of helpmates. So why is it that we're called helpmeets? And I thought about it all ever since Pastor brought it out. I said, it's true. That name really fits our description because every woman comes with a purse. And the reason why we carry purse is because we just got to always be ready for the emergencies. Like, you never know when you need a notebook. You never know when you need pens and you have to have more than one pen. Sometimes you get a little headache, you need to carry aspirin. And on top of that, I mean, nowadays you got to carry a chargeable battery, backup battery, and yes, dental floss at times. It just, all these type of emergency just comes up, so a woman always need a purse. And a lot of times, you can always ask a woman, hey, do you have this? And they got it. And that's why we're helpful, right? We're helpful. And we're so helpful that it really makes a big difference when you see how all it takes a man is just, when they run out the house, just the keys and her wallet. That's it. That's all. That's all they need. And as a woman becomes a mother, little tiny packages, wipes become bigger wipes. So then they upgrade to a bigger purse. So they become a bigger help now. A bigger help. I don't know what word would describe that now, but yeah, Yeah, we're all helpmates, aren't we? We're helpmates. And one thing that Pastor really emphasized this past feast, and also before feast a little bit too, he mentioned that even though we as women carrying purses around, we're helpful, there's one thing we must always carry with us. And that one important thing is Yahweh's laws. So let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs 1, verses 8, to remind you why Pastor says this. And again, he's inspired. And this is all Yahweh's words. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8. Says, my son, listen to the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the Torah, the teaching of the law of your mother. See, the mother must always carry with her the laws of Yahweh. She cannot neglect that. And so I want you to understand, too, what occurs when the great position we have as mothers, and even though you're not a mother, trust me, we always leave our children with you too, so you have to mother them. But you are all mothers in the house of Yahweh. You're teaching and you're establishing a foundation for the children. But this is what occurs when a mother abuses her authority. When she is allowed to teach her children, she ends up teaching them evil. And the greatest example of this is Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 5, she was set as a mother, a teacher to Eve. And what did she teach her? It's okay. Break the laws. It's fine. You're going to live forever. It won't hurt anybody. It won't hurt you. So she taught that evil to Eve. So Eve was deceived. But remember how Pastor told us too, that Satan is a physical mother too. All the gods, she had children of her own, and she taught them the same thing. You don't have to listen to daddy. What does he know? Behave yourself when he's here, and when he's gone, we can do what we want to do. We can go to the earth. We can go and trespass. We can use our powers and create all the things we want. Same teaching she gave to Eve. She was a horrible mother. She abused her power. So because of this, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, let's turn to that. And I don't know how many times I would usually read this over, and I did not know it was talking to Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14. Yahweh says to the serpent, to Satan, the one who was set to be the mother, because you have done this, because you taught evil, you deceived and taught evil, you are bitterly cursed. I establish you over all living things, and I establish you over all flesh of the grounds, but your ability to bring forth life from the dust will be taken away. You will go to your punishment, and you will be destroyed on that day of Yahweh who lives forever. And this is the part I want you to understand, the extreme result of her actions. And I, but it's not Yahweh, but because of her action, okay, it has put enmity between you, okay, and the you is Satan, but her children, the gods, and the women, not just Eve, but Eve and her children. Now there's this enmity, okay, between Satan's children and now mankind. There's this enmity. And between your seeds and her seeds, she shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. But you see this hatred now. Because Yahweh had it in the beginning that mankind was going to be the helpers for Satan's children. I mean, they needed a lot of help. This universe is huge. And that's all our purpose was for. It was just to help her. But just like what our previous teacher said, Satan had a heart. She had emotions. She allowed her emotions to take over, skip Yahweh's laws, and said, "No, no one's going to place my children. My children are perfect." She got jealous. She got so confused. She did not understand the plan of Yahweh. And she has gone so far in this destruction. But this is Satan's mistake here. She was a helpmate to Yahweh, and she should have obeyed her head. She should obey Yahweh and taught that righteousness to mankind, who in return, as I mentioned, would help her sons. And Satan, as a mother, should have never set a stumbling block in front of her children by teaching disobedience to their father, Yahweh. Now, Eve had a play in this too, because Eve was a helpmeet to Adam. So she had a head. Even though she had a teacher, who was Satan at the time, she had a head. So she should have asked. Because in there, if you notice, remember the story? She was questioning Satan. She was like, well, Yahweh said. She questioned because she knew what was right. But it sounded enticing from her teacher, Satan. But she questioned it. She should have went to her head. Adam would have said what? Oh, yeah, go ahead, listen to your teacher. No. He would have said, no, my teacher is saying this too. We should not be doing that. That's what the head is for. So Eve should have when Eve had questioned it, she should have went to her head. So there's a lot of things that goes on that leads to the abuse of this power you have to teach your children. You don't want to abuse it at all. So now let's go into a true righteous helpmeet. And whether you be a wife or a mother or a teacher, this is where you can become a righteous helpmeet. And Yahweh makes it really plain and clear to us exactly the way we have to conduct ourselves. In 1 Kefa, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. 1 Kefa, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, and page 959 says, "But also let it be that of your inner self, of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a meek, humble, and quiet spirit, which is of great value in the sight of Yahweh." So to be humble, be ready for the correction. "For after this manner, in former times, the holy women who trust in Yahweh also adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands." Okay, their heads. "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him ruler, her head." Another great example where it's laid out on how we should conduct ourselves is in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. This is the virtuous wife. Proverbs 31. And before we read, I want you to list these three things down. And I thought it was kind of funny how I already list these three things down. And when I listed down, I was like, well, yeah, you know, everybody know about Proverbs 31. I'm like, well, maybe I wouldn't have to read that. And I said, well, maybe I should read that. And these three things were in Proverbs. I'm like, oh, I'm going to read it. Okay? But these three things are that a virtuous wife, a mother, a teacher in the house of Yahweh, these are three things you have to remember. You must have. If you don't have it, you can't teach it. Love Yahweh's laws, number one. Number two, love Yahweh's work. Number three, love Yahweh's family. These three things are in a virtuous wife. So let me prove that to you. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. "Who can find a virtuous wife? Her price is far above rubies. The mind of her husband safely trusts in her, and he is well compensated for it. She will do him well and not evil all the days of her life." Let's go to verse 26. I'm going to read all the way down to 31. "She opens her mouth with wisdom and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You see that? Let's go to G2. Let's go to S. Let's go to letter S. We're at the bottom. You see that right there? Teaching of the law. When she opens her mouth, she is teaching Yahweh's laws. She loves Yahweh's laws. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Let's look at letter U. It says, doing the work of Yahweh. You see that? She loves Yahweh's work. And because of time, as you read down, you can see how she loves her children. And she loves the work of Yahweh. She loves it's not just the children that is of her own, but the whole house of Yahweh. The children, Yahweh's children. And I really want to really make you realize that the minute a child is born, they're dependent on that mother to live. So when you love Yahweh's laws, when you love Yahweh's work and you love Yahweh's family, do you not want your child to live forever in Yahweh's house? Those are the only three things that's going to keep your child here. That's going to keep your child loving Yahweh, knowing that he's the only source of power that can give life. They look to us, our children, and they long for righteousness if we will open that door for them and use that authority that Yahweh has given us to teach them righteousness forever. If you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Let me clean up here a little bit. Okay, ready. Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay, over the years, Overseer has been speaking about the word. Let me give you the word. Saint. Right? We have heard about saints for many years. So I said I wanted to be smart, sound, educated. So I decided to look up the word saint in the saint in Israel says. 91 pages of references. He spoke a lot about the word saint. 91 pages. No way I can read through that in 4 days. Okay. So I had a second option. Let me go to my walking female version of Israel Hawkins. Okay. And I want to ask you, being the attentive students we are that goes to the be teachers and goes to the certified Book of Israel class, I want to ask you, what is a saint? Come on, have no really wrong answer. Try again. Exactly. One who keeps the laws of Yahweh. Right? And Overseer quoted this in this 2011 seventh month PW, right? On page 7, and he states, saints are those who keep Yahweh's laws. I want you to write that definition down. What is a saint? Someone who keep the laws of Yahweh. In that newsletter, Pastor referenced two key scriptures. Revelation chapter 14, 12. In this manner are the saints purified by keeping the laws of Yahweh in conformity with the faith as Yeshua Messiah. Revelation 14, verse 12. And the second scripture he quoted was Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Now that we have established and know what is a saint, I have some pictures for you. I'm going to test your knowledge. Okay, and I want you to tell me who is a saint and who is not. Okay? First up, Mother Teresa, who became a saint in 2016. Saint or not a saint? Not a saint. Excellent. Second one, Woman of New. Saint. I agree with that. Next one. Not. I don't even know which pope is this, to tell you the truth. But no, not a saint. And lastly, saint. Great job. So now we all agree who is a saint, right? One who keeps Yahweh's laws. Sisters, and that brings me to the title of my speech today, The True Saints of Yahweh. The various religious systems out there define a saint as a person virtuous, regarded as being in heaven after death. Next one, next definition, a patient person. And now this is the really crazy one. Here the other definition. One of the preachers defined a saint as someone with a close relationship to God. Where in there is anything about righteousness, anything about the laws, right? But to become a Catholic saint, you have to go through 5 processes. For time's sake, I'm not going to go through all that, but one of the processes is verified miracles. So when this person goes to sleep and dies, you have to pray to the person, they will intercede on your behalf, and you are healed and you become a saint. That is step 4. I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but that is the teachings that we get out there. That is it. And millions of people do these things because their preachers tell them to. Right? Is that a saint, House of Yahweh? No, a saint is one who keeps the laws of Yahweh. So now I had to look up the word saint in Strong's. Right? I had to look up the word saint in Strong's. And if you look at my slide, can I go in? No? Okay. It's a little small, but I'll read a few. A saint is defined as one who filled the whole laws of Yahweh. So when you look up the saint, the word saint, the Hebrew word translated saint, is exactly the same as the Hebrew word translated holy. And it is words number 2623. 6918, write that one down for me. Word number 6918, which comes from 6942. That one I want you to pay attention to. 6922 and 6944. But for time purposes, we will only focus on 6918. And 6918, which comes from 6942, is Kadash. Make, pronounce, or observe as clean. Ceremonially or morally clean, sisters, to appoint, to bid, to consecrate, to dedicate, to keep, to proclaim, to purify, to sanctify, and holy. And one more definition from Kissinius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon. Right? I want you to see that one. Can you come up? Okay, the highlighted. This is from Gesinius. Clean, free from defilement of crime, idolatry, and other unclean and profane things. Right? That all of that is in that one definition. Okay. Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 and 29, found on page 912. Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 to 29, found on page 912. Verse 16, now the promises were made to Abraham concerning the faith. Yahweh does not say, and to the seeds, as if to others, but to your seed, meaning the saints. Right? So a saint, one who keeps Yahweh laws, one, is a seed of Abraham, right? Verse 29, and if you are as the Messiah, then you are the seeds of Abraham, heirs according to the promise, right? Look at the word there, promise. I want to focus on that for 2 minutes. Promise. Sisters, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, found on page 1 to 3, found on page 9. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 and 7, found on page 9. Now, this is the promises Yahweh made to Abraham, okay? Now, Yahweh said to Abraham, get out of your country, right? Be separate, come out of her. From your kindred, why would he tell him come out from his kindred? Okay? And from your father's house, to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Okay? Verse 7, then Yahweh appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land, and he will build the altar there to Yahweh. Remember, sisters, look at those two things. I want you to focus on two things. The promises Yahweh made to Father Abraham. Yahweh said to Abraham, through his seed, the saints of Yahweh, all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, this blessing is a two-part situation going on here. Okay? To your descendants, verse 7, to your descendants I will give to you the land from Egypt, and to the great river Euphrates. That is also quoted in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. So you have the physical blessing of land, the land of the Canaanites, the Amorites, and all the Hittites nations. I can't name them all. Right? So that is the physical part of it. Now, the second part, which is in verse 3. In a nutshell, this is salvation through the seeds of Abraham. Who are the? Don't leave me hanging. It's true. Who are the saints? In a nutshell, this says salvation will be able to, mankind will be able to obtain salvation, okay? A plan for peace, a plan for eternal, a plan for the entire universe through righteousness and teaching. By the seeds of Abraham, who are also saints. It has so much more in this one verse, right? If you want to read up more about it, I get all the information from In Search of a Savior, chapter 1. Right? So read it. I urge you to read it, this blessing, right? Because it entails us. So sisters, okay, these blessings and the promises that Yahweh made to Abraham, have they been achieved as yet? Huh? No, they have not. But Yahweh says Abraham was a faithful man. He was a righteous man, right? And these things will be brought about through his seeds who are saints. This is a prophecy for the last days. It's through us, the true saints of Yahweh, that this will be fulfilled. The last days, this last generation, this remnant being pulled out. So this is a beautiful promise and blessing. But be that as it may, we have to become that saint, the one who obeys and do the works of Abraham, right? Okay. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, found on page 950. This is the famous faith scripture, right? We're going to start first in verse 1. Now, the faith
is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the men of old obtained a righteous report. Now verse 13. All those died in the face, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were convinced of them, and embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then on page 951, verse 39, and all these, having obtained a righteous report through the faith, have not received a promise. Yahweh having provided something better for us, that they, without us, will not be made perfect. Without us, everything hangs on us, sister. This last day's work, the fulfillment of the whole plan of Yahweh, right? This is a full circle. It has to come to. Right, so now, I'm not too great with numbers, so I try to think. I would like you to look at the monitor here. I put in the true saints, the true saints. The true saints. And look what comes up. The first number in Jewish is 828. And what is 828? Pastor's date of birth. The second one, the true saints in English gematria, it says 1074. How amazing is that? Truly, truly, it is only Yahweh that can do these things. Right? For your homework, I would like you to read Daniel 7:26. And remember always, a saint is set apart as holy, morally upright, weaned of this world. Right? And its influences. Have the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony which Yeshua is doing on our behalf. We will have the testimony of Yeshua. Sisters, it was a privilege to speak before you, the called ones, and I would like to play my clip.
Again, great sense of Yahweh, please be seated. Our lamplight is still going on, although we did not get to light it. But let us continue from where our sisters left off with giving. Giving I have spoken about for two times now, twice, because I want to conclude this time. This is the conclusion of giving. Not that Father has stopped giving us anything, no. All our life here is what Yahweh is giving us. And we're only going to conclude this part because the Great One sent spoke about it on 6:16:18. So this is the conclusion of giving. Sermon given 6:16:18, okay? Now, we know that Yahweh is the supreme head. Giving is the power to move mountains, I said, stop the rain, and raise the dead. The Great One sent told us, what does it take to raise the dead? Sisters, remember? We spoke about it. What does it take to raise the dead? Creation. To know all the things in the body, to be able to put them together and raise the dead. The subconscious mind is Yahweh's to give. Yahweh is the one, the only one who can activate the subconscious mind that he has given to all human beings. It's in our head now. It's in your head. It's in my head. It's in all the heads. of mankind that Yahweh, the power, has created. Yahweh has full use of his subconscious mind. Did you know that? Yes. How do you think Great Father Yahweh could show his power over the gods? In Exodus 7, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, Great Father showed his power over the gods of Egypt. Do you remember that? Children, do you remember the frogs? Did you hear a loud voice say, "Froggy, froggy, froggies"? No. Frogs were in everything. The pots and pans, frogs. Open the cupboard, frogs. True or false? The scripture says in Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, frogs were all over the land of Egypt. But the gods of Egypt, the sorcerers, could do some too. So when Aaron said, just throw your rod on the floor over there, remember that? And he threw his rod there and it became a what? Snake. And Pharaoh said, throw your rods too. And they threw their rods too. And what occurred? Snakes too. But what occurred? Moshe's snake ate theirs. There are no gods who can stand before Yahweh. Do you understand, Great House? Do you want the use of the subconscious mind? Would you like the use of the subconscious mind? What would you... Don't answer that one. What would you like it for? Nice. But remember, if you have the use of the subconscious mind, it would have to be used to bring honor and glory to who? Great Father Yahweh. With the use of your subconscious mind, you can change your body structure. All the laws of science will answer to you. You can defy gravity. You can defy time and space. With the use of your subconscious mind. Yeshua had the use of his subconscious mind. Do you remember? But every time he made use of his mind, it was to bring honor and glory to Father. Or to keep a law. Or to teach the disciples something. With the use of his subconscious mind. You remember when he turned the water into wine? His mother said, go ahead and, Yeshua, they don't have any more wine. Yeshua said, woman, it's not my time. But he still went and he changed it to honor the words of his mother. You remember that? And it was the best wine. Remember Yeshua, even when he raised Lazarus from the dead. When he raised him, he had died and he knew the man had died because they had called him on the telephone. He knew that Lazarus had died. But he said, no, just wait a little bit. 4 days Lazarus was in the grave. 4 days. And you know what Yeshua said? It's okay, this one is for the honor and glory of Yahweh. Check it. He says, this one is for the glory of Father Yahweh. It's not just raising dead, as the great of us, Israel Hawkins, told us. All the dead would be walking around. So it's not just raising the dead. It's for a reason, to bring honor, to teach. The great one sent, Israel Hawkins, told us to raise the dead in this time. Now, you remember Yeshua raised a young man in Luke 7, 17, 11 to 17. Luke 7, 11 to 17. Yeshua raised a young man. Now, can we see the picture of the creation that we need to raise the dead, please? Oh. You see all the body parts? Lungs, heart, skin, large intestines, small intestines, fingers, toenails, everything here, pancreas, the law, everything, diaphragm. You see all the body parts? Yeshua had to know all the microorganism science, all the things with which the earth creeps. Yeshua had to know how to put all those together. You all, can we put them together? We will, with the use of our subconscious mind that Great Father is going to give us. So Yeshua already knew which things with of cribs were going to help him to put the young man together. But he was going to teach some compassion to his disciples. So it's not just raising the young man for raising him. He was going to teach compassion. You know what he did? He asked his disciples, when he saw the young man, the funeral, the people going with the dead, he said to his disciples, what's going on there? The disciples said, so-and-so died. Yeshua already knew the microorganisms are going to help him to raise the young man and say, when I say young man to you, I say wake up. You'll have to have him up to go with his mom. The disciples said, well, what occurred? Who's going to take care of her? They said, well, she's a widow. Her husband died. And that's the young, her only son now who died. And Yeshua said, okay, excuse me, please. He went. And, of course, he said, young man, to you I say, wake up, with the disciples helping him. How fast do microorganisms work? Do you know? Don't worry about it. With the use of your subconscious mind, we will know those things. Because, did you imagine? Yeshua was raising dead, like the ones who just died. But we are going to raise dead from what time? When was mankind created? So far back. So there's a lot we will have to know. All in the subconscious mind that Great Father gave us. We can read about in the book, There Is Someone Out There by Israel Hawkins. Now, so Yeshua did this to show his disciples compassion. It's not just using the subconscious mind to do anything you want to do. It's to bring honor to Great Father Yahweh. Honor to Great Father Yahweh. The more we can bring honor to Great Father Yahweh, the more we will be able to make use of that subconscious mind. It is Yahweh who gives it. Only Yahweh can activate the subconscious mind that is now in our heads. Let us look at a small clip on some of the things that the subconscious mind can do. Can we show the clip, please?
Let's look at how powerful your mind is. Let's compare your mind to the most sophisticated man-made device ever created, the computer. The average computer can hold about 250,000 pictures, 20,000 songs, and hundreds of full-length videos. Nowadays, on something the size of my finger. Crazy. But let's compare it to your mind. Your mind can perform an estimated 10 quadrillion operations per second without you even knowing it. Wild. Ask yourself right now, what's making your blood flow throughout your veins with the perfect amount of pressure to keep you alive? What's making your heart beat right now? Are you consciously commanding your heart to beat right now? No. What's maintaining your body core temperature to the perfect degree to keep you alive? What's doing the 6 trillion things to your 60 trillion cells every single second? It's something called your subconscious mind. This is the powerhouse to who you are.
Praise Yahweh, are you ready? Yahweh wants to give the use of the subconscious mind to us. So do you agree we are wonderfully made? Do you agree we're wonderfully made? Psalm 139, 14. We praise you, Yahweh, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you see the film? Can you answer or can you regulate your heartbeat now? No. We are wonderfully made. And we are getting ready now to see Yahweh and to be like Yahweh with the use of our subconscious mind. So, are we prepping? Are we prepping? The Great One sent said, let's prep in righteousness. Let us prep in righteousness. The world is prepping for war, but we are prepping for peace. The world is prepping for war, but we are prepping for peace. We are prepping in righteousness to see Yahweh. Is that true, Great House? we are prepping in righteousness to be like Yahweh, and we are prepping to take to help you to work with Yahweh and bring everything back to its original beauty. Do you agree, Great House? Praise Yahweh. And with that, we turn over to the great priests of the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.